Hey everyone, this is Semler and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 87 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. I will be one of your hosts this evening. My name is Tim. Hello, how are you? Joining me this evening, as always, we have Brett. Hello, Brett.
What's up, family?
What's up, what's up? Have we spoken to the fans, the listener, since Christmas? I don't think so. Brett is talking.
I don't know.
Brett is recording right now in a new fancy computer chair. So I hope all of our listeners had a wonderful Christmas, with all that being said. And in his rightful place as the foreigner on the show, the non-white, as I like to call him, using the poor man's headset, it's Anuj.
What up? What up? It's so nice to be back. It feels like it's been a long time. Happy New Year to everybody out there.
Happy New Year. Last time we spoke to you guys last year. Oh, man.
Long time no talk.
Now, I hope everyone had a good Christmas, a good New Year's. Of course, hope everyone stayed safe. And let's make 2018 count, shall we? Just like we're going to make episode 87 count, because I really, truly do believe it is the best episode ever. It is going to be a little different, though. If you are a veteran listener of the show, typically, you know, we always end the show with e-news. We're not going to do that this time. And we normally talk about more than one topic, right? We'll talk about some CSGO. We'll talk about maybe some Rocket League even. Call of Duty, you know. Of course, Overwatch. Maybe some Dota. We cover all things. But if you are a new listener, follow us on Twitter, at The Center Ring. You can check us out on the website, tcr.gg. That will have all of our social media links, our Discord. Join the conversation there. We got a good group of guys there that can talk some esports or just about life, you know. Doesn't have to be esports in there. But the reason this show is different and the reason it is so good, because it is our Overwatch League Season 1 preview. It's the big one. We've been teasing it for a while, and it's finally here, and I gotta admit, boys, I'm glad it is. I am glad
it is. At one point, we thought it was never going to happen.
No, we definitely did it. And we've talked about it in the past. We've had our opinions on it, and we're basically going to rehash some of that and talk more. I want to, later in the show, we'll get into kind of team previews. I don't know if we're going to necessarily go team by team or just have an overall discussion mixed in with some predictions in there. I don't know. This is a semi-live broadcast, so we'll wing it. We'll see how it goes. We're professionals here at TCR. And then we'll get into the format. We'll tell you what you need to know about that so you're not completely lost. And you know what? Even after I tell you about the format, you still might be completely lost. So if you figure
some
it out...
Some of us on the show still are.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe you can help us figure out some of the confusing thing that Blizzard has done with the format, but that's all good. But before we get into any of that, I want to kind of discuss how we got here. Right now, okay? It is now January 3rd, 2018. It's 8:30 p.m. Central Time, and we are a week away from the first game of Overwatch League Season 1. This has been a long time in the works. You'll remember that this was first announced at BlizzCon way back in 2016. In December.
Was it January?
I think it was December of 2016.
I think it was like early 2017. Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, so it was announced in 2016 is when the Overwatch League was announced. And then pretty much crickets for like half a year.
Six months.
Yeah, you didn't really hear anything. And I remember when, I don't even think you guys were on the podcast when it was originally announced, because it was Brandon, a former co-host of mine, rest in peace, that we discussed
still
how hyped we were. He's dead to me, Brett. He's dead to me. And
I mean, we even had episodes where we talked about
this.
I
mean, we did, though, yeah, right? Because it was a big deal. Yeah. It was like, wow, this is huge. It's going to be a structured league with cities, you know, salaries, basically everything that you would think a professional league would have. And then,
and as you go through this timeline, like, recognize how quickly it started moving once ball got rolled.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Good. That is a very good point, Anuj, because you really heard nothing. It was like May rolled around. Everyone's like, okay, what's going on? And then June rolls around. Everyone's like, okay, I'm giving up. I'm giving up on you. At this point, you had some teams drop out. You had some pros drop out. Throughout all this mess going on, Siegel ended up not stopped playing for NRG, and we'll get into that in a second. But he's like one of
didn't somebody make the video in the woods or something? As they're
That was Noah Winston. No, yeah, it was Splice's owner.
Splice was selfless. Yeah, it was Splice.
Somebody. I'm getting them mixed up, but you are correct. Like, one owner had this really weird, like,
Splice.
Shot on his Splice. Okay. He shot it in the camera angle. It looked like he was about to off himself in the woods.
It was so beautiful.
It was
like a Blair Witch Project episode, dude.
it got weird, and it basically turned into a bit in the Overwatch community on, you know, teams dropping out of Overwatch. And then all of a sudden, July 12th of 2017, the Big Seven was announced, where the first seven teams were announced. Boston was the first, and then it kind of just kicked the door open from there, right? And the second, the very first team that was ever to be announced for Overwatch League officially was Boston, with the Kraft family buying it.
Are we still in talks about infringement on our logo, or is that still going on right now with our legal group?
We signed off on it. We've been paid a hefty amount.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Thanks for telling me, guys. I appreciate that.
You didn't get your cut. I don't know what happened to that, man.
It feels bad. Yeah. No, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
We can speculate, right?
Like, you know, kind of pausing there when it all just kind of like kicked the door open. Like, what do you guys think was like the big determining factor of just like, oh my God, yeah, we need to get something out here. Let's just like,
well, I mean, it's kind of what we just talked about. Like, those videos you saw coming out, like, you saw teams dropping out, people were getting fed up. It was, you know, you're a year and a half in at this point into the game's, you know, lifespan, and people were just waiting. Apex was out there, but it didn't appeal to anybody outside of that time zone, because just to watch a game, you were up in the middle of the night, you know, just to catch a game. So people just didn't watch it, and the interest wasn't there. So I think it was just a combination of seeing people leaving and, you know, willing to just cut ties with their team, and along with the pressure from the player, like players like us wanting something to come of this.
And there was even speculation on our side too, right? Like, okay, what's going to happen here? I know, Anuj, you were kind of the leader of that calling where it was like, this isn't going to work. Like, I'm, you know, you kind of, I'll believe it when I see it type of attitude. For me, it was like when Robert Kraft, when they bought in, right? For those who might not know, they own the New England
Boston.
Patriots.
Yeah.
So they are like the city of Boston. The second they got involved, I felt pretty confident that at least getting this going was going to be a success, because what do billionaires love doing more than being billionaires? They like to do what other billionaires do. And that's investing into new opportunities that could possibly get them money. And, you know, from what I hear, esports is going to be bigger than the NFL. So, you know. You'll never hear the end of that
one. One step at a time.
It's going to be the biggest billion-dollar industry. Look at the NFL ratings dropping, boys.
Esports is taking over.
That was in July. Now, not only in July, like 2 weeks later, you had Blizzard released like the biggest announcement for Overwatch League. they announced that teams will be required at least 6 players and no more than 12. The minimum salary is going to be $50,000. The initial contract is going to be 1 year for a – that's the minimum that you can sign a player for is a year's worth of time. Okay? You're going to have health insurance, a retirement plan. You're going to have to provide housing for these guys.
Tradition, like traditional sports. That's what they ultimately wanted to become. Like, they wanted that framework.
Blizzard got official really fast. And even then, you know, I remember that there were speculations of this was in the best interest for the players. You know, I remember Richard Lewis did an episode on his show talking how he wouldn't sign these contracts because within that contract, you're basically giving up a lot of freedom as far as like your creativity. Like if you're a streamer, right? Blizzard basically owns all of that.
Yeah. So if they're streaming, really... Blizzard gets all the like subscriber money and all that.
No.
I think it's basically like they can use footage of your stream for like promo videos without asking.
I got you.
That's how I
interpret
it.
But I've heard no pro just come out and say, well, this is BS. You know, I mean, it's still business as usual for them. The streamers, the professionals that also stream, there's been no like
it's just
outrage.
It's allowing
about that.
Blizzard and the league to use their likeness.
And I mean, yeah, which, okay you know, that. They're giving them a framework to make money. They're giving them a platform. So I mean, yeah, that's a small price to pay in my book.
On top of that, what made this announcement so real on the 26th is, yeah, you see the 50,000 base minimum, but then you talk about the things that you just mentioned, Tim, that player housing, retirement savings, health insurance. You're basically signing a $100,000 package deal, and mainly this because of the player housing at that point too. But you're getting like a $100,000 package deal for at least a year. So you knew anybody that was – had the ability to play in this league was going to want to step in and join in some way.
Yeah.
It's life changing for a lot of people at this point.
It even brought Siegel back. I mean, you know,
cause that's the minimum, right? 50,000
is
the minimum. So these star players are probably, you know, making
$50K. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, Sinatra was one of the players out there that was highly public, right? His $150,000 contract
a
year, and he can't even play for the first like
six
weeks.
We'll get into that when we're talk about San Francisco, because that's kind of a unique situation that they're not the only team running into age restriction issues with it, because you have to be 18 or older to play.
Yeah, Philadelphia.
But on top of the $50,000 salary, it's also there's, you know, prize money mixed in all throughout the league. So you're going to have like, I mean, first off, if you win the whole thing, that's $1 million. But then there's stages involved that get you, you know, 100,000 here and there. And there's ways to also get more money. Right, and all that is also going to be split between players and organization. So you definitely
$3.5 million prize pool is no joke.
Right, and that's going to get divvied up. Even if you get last place, you're getting like 20,000 or something like that. For if you get 11th and 12th, you get 25,000 for the team. So even there, like you're not walking away with this empty handed. They're treating it legit. Right.
Maybe that's Florida Mayhem's real motivation behind all this, only having 6 players.
Hey man, all we gotta do is get 12 plays. All we gotta do is get 12 plays.
You sign a 20-year contract just to make your money back.
Yeah.
And then pretty much one of the last big announcements, other than like little things here and there, but like, you know, like names, team names and everything, because that was kind of trickled out throughout kind of the fall and summer. But on August 10th of this, or I guess last year, 2017, and September 20th, the remaining franchises were revealed. Los Angeles, London, Dallas, Houston, Philadelphia.
And some of the biggest team names were announced at that point, right? Like these are not just the cities being huge, but it was like you saw Cloud9, Envious, Optic, like some of the biggest names in the esports industry also take part, which I thought was awesome at that point.
It's a mixture of like you said, Anuj, like Dallas is pretty much Envious, right? They're owned by Envious. London owned by Cloud9. Okay, Houston is Optic Gaming.
So you, friend of the show.
You do have enemy of the show. Totally. And you do have all of that kind of going in there, but then you have people like the Crafts, right? You have the owners of the St. or ooh, not St. Louis Rams anymore. L.A. Rams.
Ooh,
excuse me. I'm too old school. I'm you know, that's how I work.
I mean, if we're going really old school, I mean, they were the
L.A. Rams. Guess you're right. I guess you're right.
It's not this
that's
kind of
semantics.
Show.
All right, that's semantics, man.
Now, quick question here. Does Philly automatically become the most hated team in the league because they're owned by Comcast?
Ooh.
So we'll talk about this.
Real talk.
Yeah, real talk. After doing some research, right, at all of these, there are a lot of companies that you probably would not like to cheer for their team. Like
maybe we don't want to ruin that for
just don't look at the ownership. Just don't look at the ownership groups and you're fine, you know. New York fans, I hate to break it to you, but they're owned by the Mets. So if you're Yankees, I don't know where you sit with that. We'll let you decide on that. But I want to get here to the format of the league. Technically, it already started with the preseason on December 6th. That kind of went on the first weekend of December. Kind of a wonky preseason. It wasn't really like a true preseason. It was more like a dress rehearsal. It was kind of just to, I think, make sure that all the lights turned on in the studio type of bit. It couldn't have been that important considering Philadelphia wasn't even able to make it.
They were attending net neutrality hearings.
Due to what's the most esports thing an esports team can do?
Not get visas.
That's right. Not get visas. So if you had any questions that that the Overwatch League wasn't esports enough for you, well, here you go. What more do you want? Right? They have visa issues, and so they weren't able to make the preseason. I'm sure they got that handled for the regular season, and I'm sure that's not going to be an issue going forward, but I thought it was a pretty funny footnote going into the preseason. The regular season, as we mentioned, that is going to start next Wednesday, January 10th. It goes all the way on. Now, I'll get into more details here, but the regular season does go from January 10th to June 16th. So that's a long season.
Yeah. That's a legit season.
That's a legit season. Now, there's four stages involved. And then that way, like, the winners of the stages can have... I don't really know why they have the four stages, and I don't know how I feel about it. I think it's just to let teams kind of re-rack, right? It's the first season, and they want it to be long. But they realize that if they make a six-month-long season in one long stretch, that might be too much to keep up.
A lot of travel, too, though, you know? It's just the teams
can't imagine that
they're all in Los Angeles this year.
Yes, so for season one, everything is being played.
Ultimate goal is to have it home at home.
Season one, everything is being played at the Blizzard Esports Arena in Los Angeles. Now, I seriously highly doubt all the players are staying there for the whole season. So that there is going to be traveling involved. Next season, there are hopes that it's going to be home stadiums and just like anything, like if you live in Dallas, you'll be able to watch Dallas and go see their games, or at least that they're playing in the city.
Take the safe bet, you know, do it in a controlled environment where you control, you know, the technical ability that's going on there from, you know, lights and observers and all that, like have it in your set setting where you can have the best in the game, like an alchemist there to control and get some of these things like moving properly. So I think it's a good way to go for the first season.
You don't want to bite off too much. You don't want to bite off too much.
Yeah, you don't.
You have each team. So this is how the regular season is going to play out. Each team will play twice per week, with games running Wednesday through Saturday. The season will consist of 4 5-week stages. Stages reset records after each iteration, and playoffs will be seeded by a mix of stage record and overall record. Now, there are two divisions, okay? There's a Pacific and an Atlantic. The only reason that's relevant is for playoff seeding. And the only reason that's relevant is for first places in those divisions. Because the way it's going to go down is that you have the first place from each division is automatically qualified for the playoffs, and then it's the next best four teams.
Which, if you look at the structure of this thing, I mean, I can look at the Pacific and Atlantic and tell you the two locks, like, right away. So, I mean, from a number one standpoint, automatically makes it. It really doesn't matter this season. You know, maybe there's an unfortunate season where, you know, the Atlantic is just terrible because that looks like it's going to be the weaker of the two. You know, it'd be like, well, you only got in because you're, the, you know, you were the winner of the Atlantic division, you know.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
But you would need everybody in that division to perform worse than number six make it all together, right?
Right, yeah.
And
so you would have to be... First place in Atlantic would have to be better than the sixth place in the Pacific, which I don't really ever see happening just because somebody has to lose in these divisions, right? Like, nobody on that division should all be higher than first place. So it almost makes that part kind of useless, in my opinion, of having the top two.
It really does, because if you look at the Atlantic, there's two top five teams in there, and then the Pacific has three top five teams. So it's like,
I think it's silly. You got 12 teams who are all playing in L.A. Why are you having divisions? And if you're going to have divisions, at least don't tie them to a geographical point of Pacific and Atlantic. Because the way that they broke it down is so... To me, I would have preferred just seeing one giant league, right? Like the EPL, the English Premier League. Just put one giant table out there. And then that's how you do the standings, just 1 through 12. Why do
part
we
of
have
this
to dress
could be a
schedule
of what all so, when it's like traveling to each location. So like y'all mentioned.
But see, you say that. But the way this is right. broken down, Pacific is Dallas, San Francisco, both LA teams, Shanghai, and Seoul.
So I can kind of get used to
so
that.
Traveling
like being a fan.
Right?
Well, being a fan of like Dallas teams, that always happens to Dallas. Like, we are always in the West, or we're always in the East. It's hard to get it right. But my thought on this, the two divisions right there, they're just trying to build a framework because ultimately they want to add more expansion teams where divisions will become, you know, something that they're going to do. So maybe they're just trying to build the framework now so it's not a big adjustment. When they add more teams,
I don't know. I think if you're going to do it, just name it. Name them something relevant. Don't name them geological because it locks you in. Because now you have Dallas and Pacific, but Houston's in Atlantic.
Kind of like you had Houston Astros and you know the Rangers in opposite for a long time.
Yeah,
or
but I mean
the Cowboys and the Oilers.
It still
same,
makes
same
it dumb.
Setup.
It's still
dumb. It doesn't make it right. But yeah,
the
only
thing that I see could have changed is they wanted to move London and Dallas. Like, could have swapped them. And maybe that could have worked out better travel-wise. But again, not maybe wanting to have both of us in the same division, like Dallas and Houston being so close in proximity.
But you
being
have
a central team.
But again, though, there's no perfect way to do it. I thought the only perfect way was just having one division for the first year because to have it like both, like you said, Anuj, to have two Texas teams in one division, well, you have three California teams in one. Like, they didn't even split up L.A. for the sake of, like, anything there. It's just, I don't know. That's my personal preference.
Getting league knowledge and geographical knowledge, too.
Postseason, that's going to be from June 17th to July 28th, with July 28th being part of the championship. That will be in not necessarily in California. That won't be at the arena. It's going to be at a bigger stadium, Blizzard has said. It won't be at the Blizzard Arena. But it's going to be someplace, I guess, that can hold a larger group.
Will any of this be aired on TV?
No. That's a good point. So it's not going to be on TV yet. And as far as I know, it's going to be on MLG. I haven't seen... I know preseason was on MLG, and I haven't seen them say anything else other than...
From what I gathered in that you know, the... preview show that Thorin and Monty did is that it's pretty much going to be on MLG, which is not good. And
it's not my preferred form.
Hopefully gets fixed. Yeah. Cause that's not a good platform. in my opinion.
And if this was CS, all the pros and talent would be telling us to shut up and just watch it because it's great. But yeah, I agree. I think that's a big problem to like not have it on multiple platforms and allow people to watch it.
Well, and I don't even think
because
for like
you can't get an idea of viewership. You can't.
Yeah, I was gonna say selfishly, I don't like it because it's on MLG TV. But even then, if you're thinking from like a league standpoint, you just put it on the one of. It's not even on YouTube Gaming. This is like third tier level on people's thoughts to go there. Like, I don't think you're going to get any, like, window walkover traffic. You know, you're not going to get any just walk-by traffic going to MLG. No one's just like, gee, I'm just going to go to MLGTV.com and see what's up. No one
does
that.
Just in general with MLG's, you know, content as far as even covering games that they're massive in, like COD, you can't even go there for good information on those types of things. So I don't see people just, like, running into that site randomly to see what's going on or check in on some other information and see that playing at the same time.
No. And then, of course, after the season's all done, you can't be a real sport without an all-star game. And that's going to be August 10th through the 12th.
That's pretty cool.
Well, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and just see how it shakes up. Other all-star games and other, you know, mainstream sports, it's a snore fest. But you know, we'll see.
It's an all-star game. It's whatever. People have their opinions on that.
Yeah.
So let's get into here though. So that's the format. It's how we got here. Hopefully that kind of catches you up to speed if you haven't been paying attention to all the minute details. And like I said, there's even more that we didn't touch on there, but even at that point, let me backtrack here. There's more little details than what we just went over, right? Those are the big stuff. There are still things, though, that people who are involved with the league have no idea how it works. There is a trading system involved, right? There's some form of trade deadline, but no one really knows how that works. There is a time to sign players and move roster changes. No one really knows how that works. So I think this is just going to be one of those things where there is going to be some type of growing pain going throughout the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough because a lot of these teams are, you know, kind of geographical. Well, I mean, not a lot, maybe like half the league. It's like all one region. So, you know, the whole thought was, okay, there's trades. What if, you know, an owner or, you know, a GM is like, well, I could really use this DPS that's on Dallas Fuel. You know, I want to make a trade. I'm wondering if the players maybe have something in their contracts that says, wait a minute, no. I wanted to be part of an all-Korean team. I don't want to go to Dallas.
Well,
you know, it's
let's just start our team preview discussion right now with that as a segue, because you have one team in now keep in mind, you had a chance to get 12 players. You have one team in this entire league that decided to stick with six guys, which is pretty unconventional, right?
On
like
so many levels.
You are finally given the option to where you can have sub-ins and everything like that. And Florida Mayhem, ownership is part of Misfits, which, by the way, is what this entire roster is made of, was the former Misfits roster, and partnered with the Miami Heat. The Florida Mayhem decided to only sign the Misfits roster and no one else. They're the only team in this league with six players. They did pretty poorly in the preseason.
Yeah, because they haven't really played with each other. I mean, other than playing with Misfits recently,
and they're all Sweden, or they're all from Sweden, so they have
minus one. Yeah,
they have commonality there, but they don't.
So
it's a weird makeup.
All right, so the star player Tivik on the team, he came out, you know, he said that, you know, we didn't want to bring any more players because we wanted the continuity, we didn't want anyone losing reps. Essentially, they just didn't want competition. Being that it's a 6 month season, that's a terrible way to look at it, because something's going to happen, right? Someone's going to get sick. Or, you know, a family emergency is going to happen and, you know, they're going to have to pick up a player. Like, it's just like I am looking at this and just seeing so many red flags of like, man,
yeah,
this isn't going to end well.
So I think when Blizzard like gave the option for a 12-man roster, like the way Florida went about thinking it was, well, we don't want to create competition. They didn't think of the what ifs, right? Like, hey, this is like a 6-month long season, you know, 7 if you really are kind of looking at playoffs and everything. Mm-hmm. You sure you don't want like a backup there? Like anything? Like, we're giving you guys this opportunity to go sign other. There were a ton of players.
Still a ton of players you could go get.
I'm a free agent.
Oh, yeah,
guys.
There are.
I'm a free agent. You know, we're all free agents here, according to Blizzard. I never got a phone call from Florida. So
you and 75,000 other people.
It's a
literally.
It's a bit weird that that they decided, hey, we're good with 6. Maybe they know something about the signing details that we don't. But
so I'm a little different on this than you guys, I feel, just because when they initially announced the league, in my mind, I always thought of just like a 6-person team. You know, I never really thought. Even prior to the announcement, never did it come to my mind that, oh yeah, they should have backups. Now, I don't know if I knew at the time that it was a 6-month league. I think what Brett mentioned, and you, I think you mentioned as well, you're going to run into some sort of issue in that period of time, whether it's some sort of injury. Even look at like Device and CSGO, like a wrist injury kept him out for like 2 months randomly, you know? And so that becomes a problem. Now, I would hope that there's something there that allows them to pick up a free agent.
There's windows. Mm-hmm. They have trading and pickup windows, but okay, so let's look at this as best case scenario. Everyone stays healthy. No one has family issues. It's still Overwatch, and there's an ever-changing meta in this game where, you know, you have players that specialize as tanks and support, or just tank, or just support. So what happens when, you know, there's a patch and the meta changes where maybe it's a 3-tank meta now? Well, you have 2 tank players, 1 tank and 1 flex, like on your team right now. And so you have a guy that's going to have to go outside of his comfort zone because you decided that you only wanted to have 6 players. It just,
yeah, with the fact that there's so many characters, you know, that does make it difficult. But then you also look at like a game like League of Legends or Dota, right?
I mean, you have 1 tricks there as well. Right.
But I'm saying you don't have like, they don't have like separate.
It's been done before where you had set rosters, right? Because to be honest, every other esports has like a set limit of like your 5-man roster, right?
Yeah.
Now you have esports like Counter Strike where they constantly have an ever changing rotating door in some teams. Right,
well, there's no like trade deadline or anything like that in those sports, right? So that's going to happen throughout the season, throughout the year. Drops, pickups, a team slumps, and they're going to cut a guy just because they feel now is the time to make a change. So this is, you know, treated more like a, you know, traditional sport. So I, you know, ultimately, I think it'll come back to hurt them if they don't have, you know, if you run into an injury in a non-pickup window time. I don't know what you do,
yeah,
or like you said,
like
meta changes.
Players, right?
But my initial thought was, oh, all these teams are going to be rolling with 6. Before I knew they would make it 12, it just sounded right, because that's what we see in every other esport.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, moving on from Florida Mayhem, which, like I said, if we're just going off the preseason, and even then, I think people's hopes for them are pretty
low.
I don't think, well, let's say expectations aren't high. Right? I don't want to say hopes are low. Expectations aren't high.
I don't have them in the top 6.
No. I don't see them yet. I agree with you.
They were in the grand finals of Contender Ones, right? Or no? Contender Season 1? This same roster?
I don't know if they were in the finals of Contender Season 1. I'm sure the internet would know. We'll look that up here.
Internet.
But I want to move on to another team here that seems a bit shaky as far as going into the season. That's with the Philadelphia Fusion. We mentioned it early in the show. They're kind of a wild card at the moment just because they weren't at preseason. No one has seen any type of play from them with this type of setting. They had visa issues going into the preseason, so they weren't able to make it. They are one of the most diverse rosters in the league. They're hosting 12 international players.
Yeah.
So they are, I believe... they don't have any Americans on their team. I think they're the only non-Asian team to have No,
they have one NA. Yeah. One NA player and Joe Meister.
So that is one of the more diverse teams, and that's kind of a talking point when it comes to the fusion is how are they going to blend together, right? You have guys from FaZe, you have guys from Cloud9, United. You do have one of the saving grace, though, is that they have one of the most deadliest DPS duos with Carpe and Shadowburn on the roster.
Really
they both
Genji.
Play together at FaZe.
Yeah. Shadowburn's insane.
Dude, his Genji is on point. Like, just Google Shadowburn Overwatch, and you will see highlight reel after highlight reel. What he has done in the World Cup, even. So that's going to be one of their saving graces, that if they can hold up as a DPS, then you're going to see that fine. One of the more interesting pickups from Philadelphia Fusion to me is Echo. So Echo, if you haven't really heard of him, don't feel bad, because I don't think a lot of people have. He is from Israel. He is kind of no more of a pug star in the EU server scene. He has played professional before. You like he played for the World Cup and everything like that. He has played for an Israel pro team. I don't know how that translates though to, you know, like an EU or a NA or Korean pro team, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how that skill level goes.
Yeah. It's going to be he's with a lot of players. I mean, it's going to be a dress rehearsal. There are a lot of players like him that have little to no experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just through, you know, people just know him through rank. Huh?
That's the nice thing about having a 12 team or 12 player roster is they can give him maybe the base salary of 50K and get away with potentially finding a, you know, young star coming up from, like you said,
They signed, I think Philadelphia signed Echo for the potential of going forward with him, right? It's, hey, let's throw the money at him now. Let's see how he plays. And if he turns out good, great. We're the ones who signed him, right? He's on our team. You can figure
trade
this bait, out.
In, use them, whatever you want.
You can figure this out in 6 months. You'll know if he's worth it. Within 6 months.
Two seasons, basically, right? Because if it's a one-year contract, I'm assuming you'll get him for first and second season.
Well, depending on how they do the second season. Yeah, if you assume the second season gives them... I don't know. There's been no announcement on how the off-season works. I could see them just going till... Because the All-Star game's in August, right? So I could see them going from August to December off-season. And then just do this every year, you know, December preseason, January season starts till July and rinse and repeat. So I think you're only going to see like one season per year. I don't think it's going to be like how ESL will do two seasons a year in Counter-Strike and things like that. I don't think you're going to see that.
Are you going to see third party tournaments like come up through some of these other big venues,
ESLs
or DreamHacks or anything like that?
I think it's just the league, right?
I
haven't heard of anything sponsored by Blizzard. Like, it's sponsored by Steam.
Yeah, I was going to say, because, I mean, there's still teams not...
Valve.
They're not Overwatch League teams, right? Like, you still have other organizations who just own Overwatch League teams, and they'll still partake in contender leagues and all these other one-shot tournaments here and there, but it's not... Mm. Those are like going to be like an afterthought, right? That's going to be really looked at as like minor leagues for the Overwatch League.
Is Apex still running?
Yeah. Yeah. Apex is still running. But again,
I think any player
worth it is going to just be tried to sign off to Overwatch League.
Yeah. And even over half the teams in the Overwatch League have academy teams as well.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you do have academy teams there. And you know what? Just wait till Season 2 and they add 6 more teams to Overwatch League, right? That's going to diminish the pool for any type of outside third group tournament. You know, all that's going to be an issue. I don't know. What other team do you want to cover here next? Boston Uprising. Again, that's another team where... The expectations are pretty low. I think if they just have a successful year, as in not get destroyed, I think it will be a success.
They've been doing really well in, you know, their preseason. They've caught the respect of a lot of pros.
Yeah,
are talking about him.
You know,
so.
I've heard that too, where Boston has caught the eye of a lot of pros, and they always say the same thing of, well, they put in a lot of practice. You know, they're doing a lot of scrims, and I just feel like that's what you would say to a team that you don't think is that good. Like,
well, I mean, I don't think they would even talk about him if they weren't that good, to be honest.
But if you say, what do you think of Boston Uprising? Well, I think they put in a lot of time.
Well, I mean, they're people just bringing them up without even being asked about them. So, I mean, I think they're going to be pretty legit. I don't think they're going to be top six, but, you know, I don't think they're going to be worse in the league.
You have, speaking of worst in the league, to me, kind of a shock. Not a shock once the preseason ended, right? But it was a shock just overall how it started, was Shanghai Dragons. Their full Chinese roster. This is the thing with, and this is just my opinion in general, with Chinese esports. They do not venture out. Like, they won't ever have a mixed roster. They're going to stick with Chinese players, and that means your pool for talent is going to be pretty shallow.
Maybe
probably
like
don't have a lot of people like wanting to go live there either.
Yeah.
It's not
true. It's not a destination place.
They do have one of the cooler logos in the league. I'll give them that.
They were the first logo announced. If you
yeah,
know, fun
I like,
fact,
I like their logo.
They were the first one ever to announce their name and logo.
But cross communication, which is, I feel like that's just always going to be a barrier because Mandarin is also something that's not widely taught here either.
Right.
A lot of other countries, English is not really, you know, outside of the major cities, not really spoken there.
And there's really not a whole lot to go off of with this team either.
They're a young squad, and it's just they're gonna have to take their time. It's going to take time to develop that roster.
I mean, that's going to be a lot of teams. Like a lot of the analysis and just trying to see who's going to separate themselves from who is just going to be in the first couple of weeks of the season. Just watching and observing. You have
certain teams that were able early on to sign almost, if not full rosters. Right, we'll get into them later. But like, Seoul, right? That's an entire roster. Let's get into Seoul Dynasty. They signed an entire Lunatic High roster. The best team, arguably the best team at Overwatch. Just
the Lunatic, yeah.
They're just done. Yeah. Just all of a sudden, they joined an Overwatch League and said, guess what? We're going to buy the number one roster out. There was no thinking or pulling people together. They just went and did it.
Gotta like that. But,
you know, part of me, just maybe the cynic in me, you know, and this is for them and the New York Spitfire roster. You have essentially 12 players, right?
New York Spitfire or London Spitfire?
A London Spitfire. Oh. That's what I meant. Sorry. Yeah. But you have 12 players in each of those teams. They're all Korean. They're all really good. Eventually, I'm thinking that may even be an issue. Like, you have 12 players that think they're the best on the same team, you know. Which
it didn't seem to be an issue in Apex, though, or in the World Cup when the Koreans dominated everything.
But this is also going to be a bigger stage. And I'm sure, you know, the Korean, you know, way of thinking, maybe their culture is that, you know, it's just they don't really complain or have big egos. But the cynic in me just sees that, like, not ending well. If maybe, you know, they don't do well, like what if they lose a couple of games that they're supposed to win, and you know, you got those other six players on the team just being like, okay.
To me, though, you're Korean until proven otherwise. And
what does that mean? When I say that,
I mean you are going to be my favorite to take the tournament. I think Seoul is. If you ask 10 people, 9 of them are going to say Seoul is going to win the Overwatch League.
I'd agree. They're my pick.
Yeah, and I mean, it's hard to argue. How do you argue it, right?
It's like StarCraft all over again. Here we go.
Yeah, I'm a realist. You know, I know they're going to win. I'm a huge Dallas fan, but it's, you know,
they're the
fanboy
best
side.
On paper. They're yeah. You watch them in the preseason. They dismantled teams. Like, it wasn't even like a close match in their matches. You could tell that they had control of it the whole time. The whole time they had control.
They got the best DPS in the world. It's the guys insane. Well, two, Fleeta and Munchkin. Like, those guys are insane.
Fun fact about them.
For anybody.
Everybody on that team is Korean except for the owner, Kevin Chu, who is American.
Well,
there you go. Makes sense.
That's kind of funny. Everybody, though, from coaches to directors to anybody associated with that team.
Okay, so we can't call them all Korean.
They're
not 100% Korean.
The backing company is KSV, which is the Korean Silicon Valley, which is like a tech company. They were based in California for a while, and I think now they're based back in Korea, but that's just a side note. You mentioned top DPS being on there, though. So here's the thing. I think when you're looking at DPS in Overwatch in general, it's not a surprise that everyone plays them, right? Like, that's kind of like your go-to thing, is you want to be flashy, you want to make the big plays, you know, you want...
They're like the wide receiver in football.
Yes, that's good...
They're the notice one.
They're going to be on the highlight reel, you know?
Yeah.
Zenyatta putting a healing orb on you? Probably not. So they're the talent pool for a DPS goes deep. You have Los Angeles Gladiators, who has another one of the best DPS on their team in Sure4. He was Team Canada. He is one of the best McCrees around, behind me, of course.
That's a second mention, Anoush. I'm keeping count.
Of what?
No, of, just keep going.
Of me?
Yeah.
Well. When you're
being
good, you're good.
When you're good, good.
The LA teams in general, you have the Los Angeles Gladiators and the Los Angeles Valiant.
Mm-hmm.
Valiant
former
is going to be the
Immortal.
Better team.
Yeah.
And on there. Yeah, Valiant is the former Immortals team. Not so much about the Overwatch, but more of just the organization in general. Immortals throughout all this, if you're not familiar, in the Counter-Strike side, they were going through a lot of ups and downs. Their team basically told the organization to F off, and the organization was like, bye. And they bought an Overwatch team in between.
Well, and then League of Legends also with them.
Yeah. So they basically put a lot of their stock into the Overwatch League. So Immortals has a lot riding on the LA Valiant. Which
yeah,
I think
I have them
good.
In the top six.
They're gonna
sure.
Yeah, they're one of the favorites there. Los Angeles Gladiators. It's weird. They have a really good roster with Sure4. They got Big Goose healing there. They got Shaz also being a support.
Asher's really respected amongst the scene.
I wasn't impressed though in the preseason. It's preseason.
They're trying a lot of things.
And yes, I was going to say, and that's one of the difficulty things here, is that the preseason showed you very little because certain rules made it to where you had to switch out your roster when maybe you wouldn't have, tried different metas when maybe you wouldn't have. So it's difficult to tell. We'll see. That's a team on my radar is the Gladiators. You have San Francisco Shock. We talked about them a little bit earlier, but you mentioned Sinatra and Super, one of the two best players. I mean, it is their two best players on their team. Are not going to be playing with them for like half the season.
Yeah, I would maybe. Yeah, I mean, they have an issue when Sinatra comes back though, because you look at their DPS lineup, and unless the meta changes to a 3 DPS, there's going to be some competition there. For top, I mean, you got Baby Bay and IDDQD. That's already a good pair.
Mm-hmm.
Dante being a good tracer. And then you got these two young superstars coming in like 6 weeks later. It's going to be rough.
Yeah, that's a good
problem. I'm
going to
be like really interested to see what happens there.
Maybe that's a trade. Well, maybe they keep Sinatra out for a little bit, just being that he is younger, right? Maybe, hey, let's.
Dang, I wouldn't. God, that guy's insane.
This is just me being hypothetical, Tim, here, that they maybe they maybe he doesn't perform as well on the big stage. I don't know. That's just me being hypothetical there. But yeah, they are 17, so they have to turn 18 before they can officially play.
Yeah.
That's pretty old, too. I could see, like, 16 being a good age. 18 seems...
I'm sure there's, like, some legal thing involved there. Like, there's probably some actual legal thing. Just American labor laws.
He can make hundreds of thousands on stream, but hey.
Don't you dare sign that contract.
Don't you dare.
Another team that has a player kind of restricted by age is New York Excelsior. Ugliest logo in the league.
But 100%.
We'll move on from there.
It's not even close. Yeah.
They signed the majority. Again, they have a good roster, though, right? So for how ugly their logo is, they're equally countering it with a solid roster where they signed up most of LW Blue from South Korea. They have Flower signed. He is, again, though, below the age. So they got to wait for him to turn 18 so they can play.
You want to watch some good Widowmaker play. Like what he did in the Overwatch World Cup? Man, insane.
I think he got MVP of that too, right? Am I crazy?
I'm not sure.
He was in one of the finalists. I can't remember if it was him or XQC, but it was a fan-voted MVP vote, so who really cares?
I think it was probably XQC if it was
fan-voted. Who really cares at the end if it was fan-voted? But New York, I think they're going to be a solid team.
I have them definite top six. Like, they're a lock, in my opinion. IMO.
So you were asking about Apex, Anuj, earlier? So that team was ready to go to... I believe it was season 3 at the time for Apex, and straight up said, nope, sorry. They withdrew from the tournament just beforehand, and then they went to New York to sign their contracts.
Oh, jeez.
So you want to talk, well, and you want to just say, like, how important is this to Korean players, right? Like, hey, do you want to play in your Korean tournament with your Korean org, or do you want to do this for money and all that, right? So already...
Prove you're the best.
Yeah, like, you're seeing that the Overwatch League is pulling the best players.
Not even prove you're the best. It's like sign that contract, get that money.
Yeah, 50,000. If you told me right now, hey Tim, quit your job to sign 1 year of Overwatch League, I probably would do it. I probably would do it just to say you.
Well,
did.
Like at their age, you got to think like 50,000 is like a ton to them at that age, you know. And
at
it's
their
not a
age.
Joke now. It's not even like not even a joke now,
I'll
you
take
know.
It
so.
Now.
But at that age, they're also getting the experience to travel. They're going to, you know, live in a free home, which is generally probably a pretty nice place, but most likely nicer than where most of them are living now. Not from a location wise, just if they have a team house, they're usually pretty badass, you know?
Like, they're just cool. I'm scared to see what 17-year-old Brett would do with that kind of cash.
Brett would be like the XQC of the group.
Oh my God. No, just like drinking Coca-Cola cans.
Oh my God!
By the case.
The energy drinks would just be non-stop. I'll tell you what: 17-year-old Tim would not see 18-year-old Tim. That's what would happen if I had that money at that age.
Just go out in a blaze of glory.
What teams have we not touched on? Let's talk Houston Outlaws. I can't believe we haven't talked about them yet.
Oh, convenient, Tim.
Time out. Made a mistake here. They have the best logo.
Oh yeah. No.
Shanghai is cool. Houston has the best logo.
Yeah, I mean, for listeners who don't know much about Texas, you know, people from Dallas don't like people from Houston. But I'm gonna be honest, they have the best logo. I hate Houston, but I look at that logo, I'm like, damn, that's on point. So good.
So they are owned by Optic Gaming.
Friend of the show.
for new listeners of the show, we don't want them to win. They big timed us.
Oh yeah.
Long story short, for new listeners, I asked for an interview. They said sure. What's your listener numbers? I gave them our listener numbers. I even lied about them a little bit, and they still said they didn't even say anything. They just ignored me afterwards and never responded. But I'm not bitter about it. I'm over it. So they are owned by Optic Gaming. It was actually a pretty big signing when they announced that they were going into the Overwatch League. I was actually a little surprised because they just got into League of Legends as well. So originally, Optic Gaming, historically known for their console play, they started in Call of Duty. They branched out to PC with Counter-Strike, right? Still sticking in that FPS genre. Then they went to League of Legends and Overwatch pretty much like within the same month is when they announced that they were going into both.
Right. I think it shows confidence because they've shown success in everything that they've touched on. Even in Counter-Strike, they're not number one, but they're a top 20 team in the world consistently, top 15 even, you know? So they've always found a way to be competitive.
They are what every team wants to be from a branding standpoint. Like,
yeah,
he does it right.
The green wall that Hex has made is going to be intense. I don't know how the team is really going to perform. I think they have the potential, but I don't know if that's just me being bitten by the green wall bug, right? Like, I don't know how much of this is Optic hype and how much of this is like legit. I think the team's going to be good.
I think it's a legit roster. I mean, they got one of the best tanks in the world in Kulmat, one of the best divas. So, you know, for listeners that like to play D.Va, if you want to see how to play D.Va, Kulmat's your guy. He's amazing. But they have pretty much like half of Team USA's roster, which did pretty well in the Overwatch World Cup. And, you know, they add a player like Lynxer, also a really good Widowmaker, really good TPS. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I look at that roster, I'm like, yeah, that's a legit roster. I actually have them as one of my top six teams.
Lynxer, though, can struggle, man. Playoffs. That dude.
Well,
I
mean,
I've seen him.
Kind of like the
I know,
DPS,
but I've seen him play Widow, and he's good. Don't
I mean,
get me
he
wrong.
He popped off against Teemo.
But Teemo. He. I've also seen him. What looks to be tilted as Widow, and it's just you gotta switch when you're not hitting your shots. And I've seen him stay on Widow maybe one life too many sometimes, and it's ended up costing him. Not taking away from his skill overall, I'm just saying it. It can happen. So keep an eye on that.
Well, they got Tyrong to kind of reel him in, too. Yeah. A really good coach. So
We'll see. We have Cloud9 team. They ended up going with London. They bought out the London Spitfire spot for the Overwatch League. This is, to take you back in time, when this was first announced, kind of controversial, right? Cloud9, San Francisco-based company, always been known for being like the American esports organization, yet went to London on this one. But that's not really why it was controversial. They kind of was controversial because they did a lot of people dirty, in my opinion. And I love Cloud9, but I will admit that they did a lot of people dirty. So this was at the time where Cloud9 still owned an American roster for Overwatch. Then they bought out Laser Kittens to be their European roster, which they said that was going to be their Contender League team, which it was. But then they ended up buying out the Korean Kong... I'm going to say this wrong. Kongdu Pantera? Is that how you say it?
No. Close.
How do you say
it? They ended up buying two, right?
Yeah, they did. Right. So that's
two full Korean rosters.
Yeah. And so now you're sitting there as Cloud9 with basically three entire rosters, and people are like, what the hell are you going to do there? You saw people from Laser Kittens basically announce, like, nah, we're out. Like, we're free agents. Like, let's not beat around the bush here. We know what you're doing. And later on, they basically announced that, nope, yeah, we're a full Korean roster.
And it's unique the way that they're doing it, too. Like, it's a full line change, like in hockey, for any hockey fans out there. I mean, it's a full line change. Like, they will, you know, the six players from one Korean team, you know, that play together, you know, will play. And then, you know, if they make any changes, from what I understand, is that it's like a full, all right, let's bring in, you know, Korean roster number two.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a cool way of doing it, though, you know, having two full squads. Maybe you can help better counter different opponents by doing that. You'll still build continuity, so you don't have that constant switching out of a DPS or just a tank player here and there. They'll be able to build continuity within their own teams that they've probably, you know, they've been playing with before, it looks like, just based on the teams that were bought out. So kind of a neat concept and a neat way of doing it. I think that could work out really well. And you know, I mean, as far as who they have on their roster, they're going to be a top four squad in the league.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely, I have them at number, I mean, they're like 2A or 2B with Dallas Fuel. But, you know, I just look at this, and I get your point, Anuj. Like, I see the point there, but, like, I don't see it ending as well. Maybe, you know, we'll see the first couple of weeks to see if I'm wrong. But, you know, part of having these big rosters was just, like, if one or two players wasn't working out, the whole, like, mix-matching, you know, players, like, okay, you know, hey, we're going to go with, you know, we're going to go with this DPS or, you know, we're going to switch out our tanks, you know, just, you know, one or two player swaps. But this is like full roster. I don't know.
Yeah, it maybe wasn't my it, vision. Like some of the other things. Sports that were used, like, so you said in hockey, you know, you have just separate lines. But even in basketball, yeah. You find the sixth man that's hot and you can insert him into the starting lineup. You know, like this guy is playing amazing at DPS. Let's pop him in because the rest of the squad is doing really well. And so different ways of using it. A lot of that's probably just going to be feeling it out throughout the season. Yeah. Being such a long season, they'll have several opportunities within scrims or just even real matches to figure out what works and how to best utilize it. It's good that they've went a different route, though. I feel like that's just it's not going to hurt. They'll learn from it.
And I'm sure it's going to change, too. If one player, one or two players are just popping off and getting picks, and you know, maybe it's the tanks and support that aren't doing as well, you know, I'm sure they'd be like, okay, all right, well, let's change out our tanks and support. We'll keep our DPS, but let's make a move. We'll keep profit out here. Let's make a change, you know? So we'll see. I'm excited. This is one of the storylines that I'm looking forward to when the season starts, is how they're going to deal with those two separate Korean teams with their, you know, team dynamic. I think it's going to be interesting for sure.
And let's save the local boys for last as we jump into the Dallas Fuel. For multiple reasons, I think we're all interested. One, because we are obviously from Dallas. If you have never noticed from listening to us, and if this is your first time, we're from Dallas. So,
hey guys, what's up? Howdy.
Let's talk about the boys in blue here for a little bit, because they are one of the favorites going into the season. Dallas Fuel and you know, Seoul Dynasty are kind of regarded as these are going to be the juggernauts of the league. Seoul Dynasty, partially because the same reasons as Dallas Fuel. Envious, which are pretty much interchangeable in this. So if I say Envious or Dallas Fuel, keep in mind, we're really talking about the same team.
It's Team Envious minus one player. Like, yeah. This is Envious.
So yeah. Envious, I mean, they ended up winning in Apex Season 1. They were the best Overwatch team when it first started. They, if you remember, they were a European team that moved to America to play, which is like unheard of in esports. Like, when was the last time you remember hearing that, right?
Team gaming for a little bit, but that was it.
For a little bit, but they moved back.
They all left real quick.
they came here and were like, whoa, this is terrible scrimming. We got to go. And they went back to EU. So that was short-lived, and they came here. They ended up dominating. They ended up going on like a 50-something game-winning streak, too. It was like 56 or something. Like it was really high. I remember when that finally was broken. Just a dominating team overall. They added Mickey back in December of 2016. That was right before when they were playing in Apex, so that's what helped them win Apex. You wanted to talk about a diva, Brett, to watch. That is like exclusively all he plays.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't really see diva leaving meta anytime soon. So
no, I think especially with the way the pros play her, right? Compared to
dive. It's part of that dive.
Yeah, I was gonna say compared to like what you might see a random play in comp, the pros play her very aggressively.
Doesn't Effect really only play Tracer?
No. He flexes. He plays other things.
He's good at Tracer. That's kind of like what he specializes in. But he'll drop other heroes on you. You know, he'll play Oddly enough, he's one of the players that can kind of cross over between Tracer and Zarya, right? So he's kind of a flex in that sense where he can play a tank, he can play your DPS.
It'll be pretty much exclusively Anuj, you know, Tracer, because Tracer's just part of the meta right now.
Yeah, Zarya.
I mean, she's the pick.
As much you're seeing a lot of in the tank meta now, the diving where you have Winston and D.Va, and they basically are attached to the hip. If you're diving with those players, then it's almost a guaranteed kill if you have the heal with you.
And you put that Zenyatta orb in.
Oh my god! You put a Discord orb. You tell them to go get them. You put the healing gun. It's game over. It's a wrecking ball, is what it is. It's ridiculous, but it works. So that's something that Mickey helps him out with. One of the big signings, though, okay, and I teased this at the beginning of the show, and I want to get into this because no one I feel like ever really brings it up, and that's Siegel. When they signed Siegel in September of last year, I was kind of surprised by this pickup. Not because it's Siegel, because obviously if you have the opportunity to sign Siegel, you're going to do it, if not because he's talented, but for his name alone, right? Like, that's instantly going to get you
fans. The ambassador of the league.
Right. Like, you're instantly going to gain fans for that. Siegel was like the first big streamer for Overwatch. And kind of first pro, right, when it comes to being publicly out there. He played for NRG. That's where he started. Who, by the way, owns San Francisco Shock. I thought it was a little dirty the way when Siegel backed off from professional play to focus on streaming, he kind of quietly stepped back into pro play when they announced the Contender League, and he was like, definitely, I'm going to be playing in that. And then, definitely, I'm going to be playing in the Overwatch League. I just assumed he was going to sign with NRG again. But he went from being an NRG streamer to Dallas Fuel. Like, just kind of overnight. Without knowing anything that was going on.
That's part of the free agency thing, right?
I mean, you're a free agent. You have every right to do it. I'm just saying I was surprised that it was never brought up that he kind of just did NRG dirty like that.
Wouldn't he have had more of a possibility to start consistently on the Shock versus the Fuel?
No. He would get about just as much playing. I mean, I would argue that he'd play more on the Shock. Is that what you said, Anuj? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe I misunderstood.
He'd play more on the Shock than the Fuel.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No. 100%.
Yeah. But, again, I don't blame him for doing that, because if I had to pick a team to play for, it's going to be Dallas Fuel.
And maybe,
but wouldn't
maybe
you rather want to play
the players?
Wouldn't you want to have the opportunity to play more than be on?
Not necessarily. I mean, because some players, I mean, you even see this in mainstream sports, they'll take a hit on playing time to play for a contender, someone that can win, you know, win the thing. And it's not like he's going to be riding the bench. I mean, he's a very niche player. Like, yeah. He plays the comp. So when you need to change it up, you need a Junkrat. He's your man.
Hanzo.
Like, he is one of the best Junkrats in the Overwatch League.
He'll play Hanzo. He'll play Junkrat. He'll play Mei. He will play those niche characters, but he can also play Genji. He can also play Pharah. He can play those main core DPS to where, if you know someone like if Effect needs to play Zarya, right? He can step in into that DPS role, and I think fill it just fine.
Oh yeah, I mean he is the ultimate flex player. I mean, his player pool is insane. So yeah, I mean he's a good player to have on a good roster when you need to make a move, when you need to kind of switch it up or do something, you know, crazy off the wall, unexpected. And he's a genius too. The man is. I mean, he is a mastermind. When it comes to Overwatch, if you want to be informed and you want to just have a knowledge bomb dropped on your head, watch a stream, because he's constantly talking about, like, man, I should have done this. You know, if I would have done this, this would have happened. Or he thinks retroactively very well. You know, he criticizes himself, but you know, he's a very insightful dude. I definitely recommend giving him a watch if you want to be educated. on Overwatch.
And we talked about this maybe last episode. It's been so long since we did an episode. I say that. It's only been like 2 weeks, but that feels like a long time. We normally do an episode every week. The one thing I wanted to talk about here again to bring up in our preview episode is XQC. They also signed him back in October of last year. He was another pickup, a strong pickup. You know, XQC is one of the top tanks in the league.
The best Winston in the world. And, I mean, his tank pool is...
I mean, really, when you look at the Dallas Fuel, you can look at... You can say that about a lot of them, right? The best blank of the world, right? You
got Tamu. The best streamer, the most drama.
Yeah, best streamer, best person.
They got personalities all over that roster.
They got Tamu, who's a personality in himself, but again, one of the best DPSs out there.
McCree,
and again, Widowmaker, right? I think I think the Widowmaker is an important person to have because although she might not always be a part of the meta, she can definitely make a difference if you have, you know, that player that can use her properly.
Yeah, I mean, if you want on a payload map, if you want to like zone out the map and get the payload moving, like switch to a Widowmaker.
With XQC, do you think it's worth it to have the baggers that comes along with them, or is it like signing like Pac-Man Jones, where you're just waiting for the next arrest?
I don't think it's as bad.
I don't think it's as bad of like when you think of, you know, Pac-Man Jones in the NFL, who was basically arrested every season he played, right? There was always something that legally you had to worry about. XQC, yes, he's been banned twice recently, really for just stupid things that he got in tangents for. Now, the guy is 22 years old. In my book, that's a grown man. You're an adult. You should probably know better than to, you know, abuse the report system while on stream. You should know
even
better
like the rage
to get
moments,
triggered.
Like,
right, that's what I'm saying. To really rage, we all rage. That dude,
it almost seems like medication kind of rage.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah,
like that. It goes like above and beyond.
Yeah, that's what we talked about. That, you know, in the last episode, it's like his issue is definitely medical.
But
like,
with that being said, I think it's all, you can all work on it, right? He hasn't really ever been a part of a team like in this sense, right? Like where he has been able to stay on a team and be stable with it. He was on denial for a long time, but even then, I say a long time in Overwatch world, that's like, you know, 6 months. Right.
He has. Yeah. So he has the security of not having to be the guy. Like, he doesn't have to carry. There's plenty of other people that can do that on this team. So,
I just feel like there's like a smaller team base, or like a team like Florida Mayhem that's going to play as light as they do. And in this case, with exactly six members, you couldn't risk a spot on him, you know, because chances are there's going to be some sort of suspension during the season.
I don't see it. I'll be surprised if there is. I'll be surprised if there's a suspension, and this is what I'm going to say here, and I'll let you make your point, Brett. But in this sense here with the league, well, he's never had structure before, right? When you look, he's always been banned while streaming. Oddly enough, playing random competitive matches. It's never...
But hasn't that happened since he's been signed?
Yeah. It's happened twice since he's been signed. But it's never been like during the season. I think this is what XQC needs to do. All right. A, lay off streaming as much. You don't need that income. It might be nice income from streaming, but you don't need it as much. Right. Like, look at the bigger picture here. The bigger picture is you're a professional, you know, gamer playing Overwatch right now for the Dallas Fuel. He needs to realize that do your scrims, do your practice with your teammates, and then step away from the game. Right. Take a breather. Whether or not it's you going to play a different video game, that's fine. But you got to step away from Overwatch, because he's even said it before in his apology video. I play 18 hours a day. Like, I get tired, I get frustrated. Well, dude, no one's making you do that. You don't have to do 18 hours a day to keep up your Winston level. right? Especially if you're playing with a team. Half of that's going to be based off the rest of your team anyways. You're not playing with a bunch of randoms in comp. He needs that. I think the Overwatch League itself is going to help.
You need to balance.
Yeah,
you need to like balance your life.
The league is
going to
help him balance out his life.
Yeah, and if there was any team to be on, it's this roster. You got you know personalities like Temu, like another big kind of a big head out there, and you know really good at what he does. You got that going for you. But then you also have Seagull, someone that can just put his arm around him and be like, hey, you know, Felix, calm down, dude. You know, like, you know, this is a team environment. You know, let's kind of chill out a little bit. So, I mean,
Coco
if there
is
was
super
any,
chill.
Yeah, if there was any, like, you can look at any roster in the Overwatch League, this is the absolute best situation that he could put himself in to succeed and be okay and avoid drama.
And they all,
for the most part.
I mean, from what everyone says from the roster, they like him. You know, they like the fact that he is the guy during a match that, albeit
talks.
Is a lot, but he talks, right? He is the guy where if you want to, like, he's basically their shot caller as far as, like, where people are at in the situation, because the dude is just 100 miles an hour, right? He just goes. A side effect to that is you might say one too many things, or you might do one too many actions, and it might get you banned. But that's why they have, backups. That's why they have more than six people on their roster.
And I don't think they would hurt if he was on that. I mean, they're better with him, but, I mean, they're stacked. So, it's like, whatever.
Yeah, like I said, and I'll say it in the last episode, is it acceptable when he gets banned? No. Do I think it's going to be a problem going forward? No. I think you're going to see him playing less random comps. I think that's just going to be a natural thing that he steps out of when he, you know, is boot camping and practicing during the season, right? Mm. I think that's going to be a big difference here. Let's get into predictions and then send this episode off into the sunset, shall we? I know we've been talking predictions throughout the show. Just give me your
top.
Let's do top
four.
Do you want to do top four?
Let's go top four.
Well, I mean, there's add two more. I mean, it's your playoff.
You
want to
just say playoff teams?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do playoff teams then. I'll go.
Let me give you the 100% like lock in picks right here. Like this is like a done deal, guaranteed. So write it down, boys. All right. We're gonna go with the obvious champ.
I got my pen.
Obvious champs. Okay. I'm gonna go from just one to six.
Do we want to place a bet? Loser has to get a Jack in the Box tattoo.
Okay, how about loser has to buy Jack in the Box?
Oh.
Loser has to eat whatever we order from Jack in the Box. Oh, that's a good one.
Just order one of each, like, food just, genre. Like,
it could be it could be like a fish sandwich from Jack in the Box. Whatever they want to serve.
Dude,
you.
You know, we don't have to do this for the final predictions, but we should do something like point spreads throughout the season for a show bet. We got a week. Let's think on that. Well,
okay,
you know what?
Yeah, we'll
if,
table
if
it.
You're
a fantasy
listener,
sports kind of thing on
yeah,
this.
Yeah, sort of like a fun little hey, who you know, just pick winners and losers for the week. If let's get some suggestions for what the sports payoff should be then. If tweet us at the Center Ring on what you think we should do for our little show bet for the season, and we'll in reasonable. All right. I don't want to.
No Jack in the Box tattoos. I'm not doing that.
No, yeah. No, nothing permanent. Nothing that's painful. Just something embarrassing. You know.
It can be painful emotionally, though.
No Dr. Disrespect stuff.
Ooh.
Let's leave that out.
Oh.
They can
okay, two time
I don't need any stupid right. mistakes, man. all right. Let's get your locks in, Anuj. Well, who
right,
is your lock?
So, top six. Champion Seoul Dynasty. All right, they're going to be taking that over the Dallas Fuel, who will come in second. At number three, and I'm going with the Dallas Fuel A because, like, they're our team, right? Like, we got to support them.
You
got to
be a home
plus,
some way, yeah.
I know the names on that team of all the players.
I recognize more names. That's a solid.
I'm like, pretty
happy
with that.
I can't argue
that
logic.
So,
okay.
that's, like, the March Madness method to going about it. So, I'm going to go with Dallas Fuel number two.
I recognize
London
that
Spitfire.
Score.
number three, which is the Cloud Nine boys coming in third. I want to go with the ugliest logo team at number four with New York. Five, I'll go with the Houston Outlaws. And for six, I'll go with the Shock.
I don't hate it.
No, neither do I.
I don't hate it.
What about you, Tim?
You know, did you say Valiant, Anuj?
I did not.
No.
You didn't. Okay.
I thought about them or the Shock, and I took the Shock.
Okay.
Based on name knowledge.
I'll start from six and go up. I think sixth, you're going to see Outlaws. Houston Outlaws will be sixth. Fifth, I will give it to New York. Fourth is where you will have LA Valiant. Third, Spitfire. And then for first, your Dallas Fuel will win the Overwatch League. With second,
he does
being
this with Counter Strike too.
I just think the Dallas Fuel men are going to carry it. You know, I think.
No, I mean it's not a bad pick. Yeah. No, definitely. I mean it's.
See, the difference is,
wow, Tim,
is when I do a homer pick in Counter Strike for Cloud Nine, there's no way they're going to win. This is at least I can argue that there's some logic involved.
You can feel good about the guess every time you
pick it.
Yeah.
So Tim, I have all the same teams that you have in the playoffs. I got Houston. I got Houston as my six. I got the Valiant as my five. I got New York as my four. I got London as my three. Got Dallas as my number two. And then
fake fan.
I know, man.
Fake fan.
I know. God, it's hard for me. I want to be a fanboy, but I mean, the Seoul Dynasty. I mean, they're just
welcome to the dark
insane side,
Brett.
I know, man. It pains me to say it, but I mean, it's.
Hey, let's see. What
I'll be wearing my Dallas Fuel jersey, crying when they lose the Seoul Dynasty and the
I really want Florida Mayhem to be my Cinderella team.
You know, I do too. I thought about putting him in there just because we all kind of didn't like the idea of just a pure six-man roster. So it almost makes you root for him in that sense.
I really want that to work, though. Like, I really just want the six-man roster to push all the way through with really no hiccups.
I mean, Anuj has a pretty good Cinderella in the San Francisco Shock, or even the Boston Uprising would be a good kind of like sleeper pick to be in that top six, but
I just want someone for Florida to have their Michael Jordan moment where it's like they got the flu game going. It's just
the flu game.
He comes out there with a 103 degree fever, sweating.
You see Logix just coming out there like, I got this.
They got G Fuel going in through an IV line.
G Fuel.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Good times.
Esports is fun, guys. So, yeah, that's next week. Next week, Overwatch League, Wednesday. I am delaying here to see the first games.
And go ahead, Tim.
It's the LA boys playing first.
Is that what
and
it
then,
is?
Yeah, and Dallas is playing at the end of the night.
Yes. Yeah,
against the Dynasty. That's the game.
Yeah,
that's the game to watch right
Wednesday,
there.
Wednesday, January 10th. The first game in the Overwatch will be San Francisco Shock versus LA Valiant, then Shanghai Dragons versus LA Gladiators. And then to cap off the night, might be a
finals preview
between Dallas Fuel and Seoul. And you know, you can already look on there. If you go to the Overwatch League's website, which is clean, by the way. Very good website. There's a stat section there, and I swear when that turns black and I can actually click on it and see player stats after matches, I'm going to get my wife pregnant because it's going to be so nice just to see stats. It's just
on a serious note, I'll be on Discord
while
the Dallas match is going on.
Very
so if you want to come on, you know, come and chat.
We'll always be. I mean,
watch an Overwatch League game.
There's a good chance that we will be watching most of these matches in our Discord. So go to our website, tcr.gg, and join the Discord. Follow us on Twitter, and we'd love to. Actually, that sounds kind of cool. Watch the matches with listeners and kind of have like a, I don't know, like a group sesh, if you will, whatever you call that. It'll be TCR,
we'll go with sesh.
TCR like theater, sesh. TCR theater for the Overwatch League. So I think that will be fun. And that's in exactly 7 days. The soul match is 7 days, 7 minutes. So there you go.
So we're going to switch our show day more than likely, right?
Oh, yes. That is a very good point. We'll probably actually then next week record on Thursday. We'll probably record a day late next week just so we can watch these matches and
talk
about day one, right?
Yeah.
As far as talent goes, and then we'll wrap this up, you do have Semler, hence him introing the show today. They did announce that he's going to be a play-by-play guy or a caster for this, whatever you want to call him.
Good guy.
Awesome guy. Good pickup, too, for when you want to talk about like crossover on fans, right? People who watch him in Counter-Strike are going to be able to relate and easily like appreciate that he's doing this, right? So that will be awesome. You got Chris Puckett running the desk. That's going to be an awesome. He never does poorly. The lead observer, which I'm not going to lie, he's our friend, and I still don't know what he does really. But that is Alchemist. He is the lead observer. He's told me like 5 times exactly what he does there. I'm like, so what do you?
I just picture him doing everything.
Basically, if you're watching the stream and there's stuff, I guess he's the one doing that. If there's ever a delay, be sure to tweet at him because it's all his fault. Definitely he is the guy to fix that, no doubt. He would greatly appreciate all your tweets about delays in the streams. Yeah. So hit up him. And good crew. Good crew overall. Just like it was a good show, gentlemen. That is it. That is it for our Season 1 Overwatch League preview. I hope you appreciate it. I hope you learned something today. I hope it gets you hyped.
Tim pulled PBS on us.
Yeah, the more you know. That is TCR Episode 87. It's all said and done. Again, thank you so much for listening. Even if you skipped around, if you made it all the way to this point, I love you even more. It's an extra long episode, so listen to it on your ride to and from work. Again, our Twitter is @TheCenterRing, our website, tcr.gg. You can find the Discord link there. If it's not working, hit us up on Twitter. I always give it out. We would love to see you there next Wednesday watching Overwatch League with us, having a good time, as always. We'll be back next Thursday, most likely. Yeah, probably. But until then, enjoy some esports. It's a busy, busy month, and we'll be back next week to talk all about it here on TCR.